This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And welcome to another Monday Mini, or what I'm going to call Samantha's Crisis. Or maybe not.
Okay.
Do you like that ominous beginning?
It's a roller coaster
away. Yeah. I'm not going to leave you hanging, though. So.
Okay.
Recently, Annie, you know this because you were around. I needed to go get my eyes checked because I need contacts. And we've had a lot of conversations about the fact that if the apocalypse happens, I'm screwed because I can't see. Like, I really probably have one of the worst, like, astigmatisms. I've been told repeatedly by my eye doctors that, oh, yeah, it's kind of bad. Or you really have it. I'm like, I don't need faces when you tell me what's wrong with my eyes. But whatever, because when I don't have contacts or glasses on, everything is a bright blur. It's petrifying. I can't believe I didn't have glasses until I was 14. I think it took that long for me to get them. Mm-hmm. 14, 15. Because my eyes are atrocious when it comes to all the things that I need to do to be able to see. And because of the level of my astigmatism, my contacts all go out of whack. So it's a whole thing. So it was interesting. So I went for this eye appointment. And it was my first woman doctor, optometrist, which is rare because I think I've had the past 10 times, it's all been men and usually are typically older men. I did have one young Asian dude. Well, this time I had one young Asian woman. And I was like, oh, hey, how are you? All these things. So I got my eyes checked, went for the exam. She stops to the point. She's like, either there's something wrong with this test, or your eyesight has gotten so badly. I've never seen this kind of jump except for only in children. And she's like, it's not, you know, I'm not going to say it's never happened, but this is very rare. We need to do a couple of things. So what should have been like 45-minute test went into being like 2 hours long because I had to get my eyes dilated, which is horrible because I was like, I'm blind. I can't see anything, or I can see too much. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that it was a thing because she was saying that I must be looking at the screen so much that it's really affected my eyes to the point that it almost doubled the prescription of what I had. And when she did the original test, she was like, actually, your prescription is lower than what they had prescribed you previously, and that might be part of your strain as well. But your screen time, you need to really monitor that because it really is affecting your eyesight. Which I was like, oh. And I asked, could it be because we're all working from home? Is it getting worse? She's like, no. I was like, oh. Okay. Oh. To be automatically like, nope. And then she went on to say, with your age, it's probably time to talk about readers. And I'm like, son of a. So I kind of sat there, I'm like, you know what? I accept that I am in my early 40s and that this is a thing that I need. And yes, I have noticed that when I am focusing on something like a book or, you know, looking something on my phone, I am doing what my mother and father do, which is to like try to focus the phone in and out to see what I am looking at. Mm-hmm. So I had a moment of existential crisis between the whole, your eyesight is progressing like a child to... you need readers. I just had this moment, I was like, oh God, I'm getting older. My eyes were super puffy. So I feel like I'm starting to look my age. And even though I should not feel any way about this because there are so many things, I still don't feel my age. So it's not necessarily that I'm scared of growing older. It's more so that I am trying to equate how I feel to my age. So yeah, so to me, like, I can't quite grasp the fact that I am in my early 40s because I am nowhere near where my mother was in her 40s, right? And there's so many things that does not seem, and we've talked about this, I think we talked about this in the very first episode. I was introducing myself in that trying to figure out if I'm all of these things. Am I an adult? Am I feminist enough? All these things that doesn't seem to hit the nail on the head for me when it comes to what I'm thinking, and then having moments of like, okay, so I need to look at what readers look like. And I was like, can I just buy them at the drugstore? Because she was going to write a whole prescription. She's like, yeah, that's fine. You don't need that high. You're going to be on the lowest. She's like, eventually you will have to. And so all those eventuallys. And I was like, you know what? I don't need these eventuallys. I did ask if I could get a corrective surgery. She was like, maybe. So that was a fun conversation. But it did have me thinking, because, you know, you start thinking about where you are in life. What does this look like moving on? And I'm doing so many new things. I'm really honing into trying to learn Korean to the point that it's starting to sound familiar. But, like, trying to learn a language and again, my situation is completely different because I'm relearning, I guess you could say. But it feels odd because I'm like, do I have the capability to learn as easily as I did as a kid, you know, all these things. Because I learned English within 6 months and I learned it to the point that I could understand and communicate with everyone, which is also why I lost my knowledge of Korean because I was so, I was submerged into English. So all of these things, I'm like, oh my God, age, what is happening? I feel like I am finally coming to a point that I feel responsible because I'm actually being paid adult living money. And I'm doing adult things like buying a house. But that's the only adult thing. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's managing my credit, sure. And understanding the importance. Trying to figure out this retirement thing, sure. Trying to figure out the taxes things. Okay, there's so many things that I'm like, okay, these are adult things, but I still feel like I'm so new at this. And then as I'm sitting here questioning all of these things, of course, an article comes out about how millennials in midlife crisis and middle age has become a completely different thing than what you once knew. So there was a Times article that came out titled, Millennials Are Hitting Middle Age and It Doesn't Look Like What We Were Promised. So she's talking about a book that was written in early 2000s, who was predicting that by the time we, the millennials, came into middle age, there would be no more like midlife crisis situation because we would become more rich and more stable and we would have growth and all of these things and that the economic social status would be closer together, which is not true, which has been the opposite of all of that. And there's been so many conversations about what does that look like for us and what does that mean for the late millennials, which I am at. So I'm right at the cusp. So I'm at the edge of what I would be a millennial slash a Gen Xer. So it kind of is kind of when you would say it. But I think, you know, I've accepted the fact that I'm like, technically, I think I'm the elder millennial, which I still hate that term, so I'm saying late millennial. And we are coming to that point. And she had a lot of interesting conversations, including maybe not calling ourselves middle age anymore because it just doesn't feel appropriate in that when my mother was, quote, middle age, she had 4 children, one who was already married, if not 2. So, like, it just feels off, right? They've had, and then my mom and dad had the job. Well, my mom actually was a stay-at-home mom, while my dad had the job. They had a house. They owned several properties. All of these things, they were taking care of their grandparents and different conversations. And that is not where I'm at. Unfortunately, none of my grandparents are alive today. So it does make me sad, but that's not a thing that we do. I moved away from home, which was not what they did typically. So they were like, okay, let's call the middle age something else. And these were some of the suggestions, and I really liked them. Peak survival mode, and I think that's referencing, which we will come back to, is that the millennials have gone through every type of chaos I think there could have been, starting with like the 2008 crash, and then September 11th, the Iraqi war, then you're going into all the other things, the pandemic, all of this. So like, we've been through some things. We have seen some things, like the Columbine shooting. All of these things have really just, I don't know if it's grown or we're just now more aware of it, but you know, we've again been through some crisis. Then there's late young adult, because one person who was quoted on here said, physically, yes, I am middle age, but economically, I'm in my 20s. And I feel like that's a little on point because we are not hitting the same salary bracket. Until 3 years ago, which I would have been in my late 30s, I was still making less than $38,000 a year. And that was with a full-time job. And that was with the fact that I still had a roommate, again, around at 36. So that just, it didn't equate to that. And of course, I was also single. So that's a whole different conversation. And then another person put the early halfway. Okay, which, yeah. You know what? Okay. That's good. But I think, like, I found it interesting because, yes, I do not know, can we title these things midlife crisis technically, because we don't have the same, like, suburban wife trying to change her life around, or middle-aged dude who decides to go with younger people to make himself feel younger. We feel young. I think that's kind of the complication here. I feel like I'm still a child, even though I may not look like it physically, and or I may not actually move like it physically. So biologically, yes. Mindset, no. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've shared the story on here, and this was when, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, our wonderful coworker, Tamika, we were at an office event, and she called me an adult, and I burst out laughing, like on instinct. And yes, I am an adult, but it just felt strange because I don't feel, I don't know, because I live in an apartment by myself, which is great. Like, I'm able to afford it, but I have like a messy cosplay closet. Like, I just have... And it's not to say you can't do that as an adult, but it feels like I haven't entered the stage of, yeah, what my parents had or like those goalposts that we were taught you would have. And I'm not even really close to a lot of them. Like, that feels like, I joke about it, but some days I'm like, I'd be in my 80s before I'm even, and hopefully I haven't slipped in the shower.
Yes, that's a concern. I've had that concern. My shower is very slippery, and I'm like, oh, dude, God, we're all going to die. Uh-huh. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I've hit one mile marker buying a home, and I felt like that was pushed onto me because of the point of rent getting so high and being unreasonable. But it's not necessarily because I wanted to or I desired to. We don't necessarily want children. So that's not a thing for me. I don't necessarily want marriage. I love where we're at. I love my partner very much. And I feel like we've gotten to a good point in our relationship. And we are really good at, we've gotten better at communicating. You know, we've gotten really good at cohabitating. So I feel like all of that as well, but that does not mean I want to move in any direction outside of that. I don't really necessarily see the point outside of, you know, legal reasons. So I'm like, if that's not the point, then why are we doing this? Maybe it's because, again, I'm a little childish and don't think I'm ready for that either. Again, like, that's in the back of my head. In the article that I was talking about with the New York Times, it says, many people said they couldn't be having a midlife crisis because there's no bourgeois numbness to rebel against. So rather than longing for adventure and release, they craved a sense of safety and calmness, which they felt they had never known. And I feel like that's true. Like, I do want to travel, but I also don't want to leave my house because I'm afraid of everything out there. There's this level of, like, everything's going wrong in the world, so I just want to be safe. And I think that's very true. My mom, I don't think my mom and dad never went through a midlife crisis. If they did, I don't think they had the time. So I don't know if they would tell you that that existed for them either, because it does feel like that was more of a privileged upper middle class way of life. Like, it wasn't for everyone. If you live to work, if you live to take care of your children, that's all you could focus on. So that was not a thing. So I absolutely feel like it's not necessarily like a very big wash of like this it was and it was so stable. Then it wasn't. It was not necessarily that. But it does feel like I'm aging differently. I don't necessarily mean physically, but mentally. I don't feel like I'm anywhere near what my parents were, obviously, or anywhere near what was the expectation for me at this age. I don't hate it. But it's all about being just stable. At this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big disconnect, and there's a lot we could talk about, because when 1991 is when, you know, like, cable news launched, and then we're exposed to like everything around the world, and then the internet comes around, and then we're exposed to that. And you and I were kind of growing up with that. And then yes, there's 9/11 and all of like the pandemic and all of these things. But also, like, I was just reading a book the other day about, you know, if you take on like wage stagnation, we've been working. It's because a lot of times that you'll read articles like, they just don't want to work. No, a lot of us are working, but there's just been no like wage increase. There's rise in student debt. Like, every like renting is more expensive. There's been all of these things where we can't find the stability that we want. And I do think it's interesting because for me, like, I love traveling. I love doing all these things. And now I'm just like, I just want to feel like I have a place. Like, I do want to still do that stuff. Whereas, like, my mom, I'm watching her, who never got to do that stuff because she had kids, and talking about, like, you know, I'd like to go do this. So I do think there's, like, a disconnect both in generations, but also in what we were taught and told we should have done by this middle age point and where we feel we are mentally because of all of these things that have happened in our lifetimes.
Right, right. Yeah. Which feels so odd, no?
It does. But I think, like, there is sort of a... And this is me speaking extemporaneously, so I could be wrong. But I feel like that for me, at least, there is a... I'm exposed to all of this stuff. And I feel like I can't change anything about it. And I can't change, like, in my situation, but in the world as well. I mean, you're talking about things like climate change. I, like, literally the other day I was thinking, I don't know if I'll be around to see that.
Right.
Which is terrifying. But that's, like, what is in the back of our heads. Yeah. And so I think that there can be this mental retreat of, I'm going to watch Star Wars again. I've seen it 100 times, but that's what I'm going to do. And so it feels like you're being, quote, childish or not an adult because you can't handle these things. When in reality, like, being faced with all of that stuff all of the time and feeling this lack of stability and not feeling like you have, like, a great financial situation and not feeling like you can feel safe. That's not to say that our parents didn't struggle with those, but we've just been exposed to it forever. And so it totally makes sense to me that, you know, a lot of us have these retreats that do feel, quote, childish, that we've been told are, quote, childish, when in reality, we're just trying to cope. Right. We're just trying to cope.
Well, you know, and in that same article, they say, what used to stand out about midlife is that people tended to have a sense of power over their own circumstances. In midlife, the sense of control is an important component of health and well-being. Even when previous generations had many life stressors, that feeling of control balanced them out. But for millennials, unfortunately, that is exactly what might be changing. We feel we have lost any semblance of control. And again, it might have everything to do with, like, the back and forth of generations, which seems, I know it used to be a thing, and I thought it was a joke, but it feels even heavier now, like whether or not it's Gen Z versus millennials, or millennials versus boomers, or boomers versus Gen Zers, with millennials being the hype people behind, you know, all these things. It feels like such a bigger divide in that, in trying to see who can one up on what is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think that there is this kind of idea among people, especially boomers, who did kind of, you know, went to school, especially, like, white, pretty privileged boomers who, like, went to school, got the job, worked hard, were able to retire. That, well, why can't you do that? I did that.
Right.
But things have changed or haven't changed in terms of, like, wages. So I think there is kind of that, well, I did it. I don't understand why you're struggling so hard. Because I, you know, like, times were hard for me, but I made it work. And I do think that's changing with people who, you know, take the time to look into what's going on right now. But I do think that's a big part of this conversation of sort of this, well, it worked for me. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why it's not working for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it is. That's a good point in that, because we have to talk about Social Security. That is the prime example on it is depleted. And we know this doesn't exist for us, but we're still paying out.
Yep.
Knowing it's going to be depleted. Same thing as the fact that the taxes and then, like, the wages have not increased, but we're working so much more because everything else has increased. The price of living has increased. The cost of living has increased. The cost of interest and housing has increased. There's nothing that exists today that was the same then, except for the wages part. And that is absurd. Even the qualifications to get these jobs have changed without anyone helping those people to get that kind of education.
Right.
Whole different conversation.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Times article does a really great job in just making sure that they talk to people. And this is something that they wrote about I thought was really interesting, is how does life feel to you right now? And I feel like they've said it perfectly. And this is a 40-year-old woman saying, I keep feeling like my life is about to get started, much like how I felt at 20, even though I'm 40. My life didn't start, honestly, to this new potential, quote unquote, which I feel like is going to go away at any moment until I started this job. Like being able to have this freedom to do this job, but then being paid at least more so on the bracket of, yes, this is what you deserve, because we're still not there. Like the disparity in our pay, don't get me wrong, we're not complaining, but there's disparity in pay in this industry as well. Is it much better than what I was getting? Yeah. But I feel like I'm coming into the point that I am actually able to live,
right,
to some of the extent that I had hoped for. And that's just being able to pay bills and then also being able to go out to eat with friends, which was not a thing. Mm-hmm. Another quote was this person saying, I don't feel established in life. What I feel is a loss of potential. And I don't know if that's just millennials. I feel like boomers may say that too. And Gen Xers may say that too, because they, Gen Xers, whole different conversation. It felt like they had to really, really submit to the boomer generation of making their parents proud. Does that make sense? Not that we don't want to do that as millennials, but there was something to like those who like went through their like menial jobs to put their kids to college. That's the beginning of that, I feel like. And that I don't know if that would be us, but it does feel like that. Again, like I feel like I've lost. I loved what I did, but there's so much more that I wish I could have done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, this is like, we could have a huge conversation about it because we haven't even talked about, you know, there's also been medical advancement. So a lot of millennials are paying for their parents.
Who are still alive.
Who are still alive.
I'm glad.
You know, yeah, it's great. But it's like, again, like things haven't. And then that's also a time suck. Like, it's just so much stuff that hasn't shifted where it needs to. And some of it is, a lot of it is economics and having that ability to have the midlife crisis. And a lot of it is also just like technology changes, ideology. Because I know plenty of people who, yeah, are like, you know, I don't want the white picket fence and all the things right. that my parents did want. So it's a lot of shifting things, or again, right. things that should be shifting and are not. So it's a big conversation for sure.
Yeah. And then this last quote was a little on the nose for me. Something happens in your mid-30s to early 40s when you don't have kids. It's sort of a lift off from the aging timeline. And I think that's so true. When I see friends with kids, which I love their kids, they're so cute and all of those things, I do feel like we're in two different age brackets.
It's true. That it does feel that way, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. So like they have this level of maturity that I don't understand. And I'm not necessarily envious.
Right.
But to a certain extent, I'm like, oh, that is adorable. And I love that. But yeah, it feels like this is adulthood. Having kids is the true adulthood. Yeah. That I'm like, not ready for that.
Right. And I mean, I think that's something we have been fed for a long time is that you got to have kids or you got to provide for somebody. And like, but you're not helping me with any programs or anything. Right. So not really, right. No thanks.
No, thank you. I mean, it is. If you, one thing I've learned is typically there is a way to make it work. You may be sacrificing something, but you can make it work. And it might not be pretty, whether it's time with your family, whether it's being able to raise your children yourself, whether it's any of those things, having to stay in a marriage you don't want to for those kids. And not that that's always happened, but, you know, people do make it work and they do survive. My parents did survive having three kids plus me later on and having one job and trying to do all these things. They were able to do it. Again, circumstances were different from today. I could not imagine what that would look like as things have shifted so quickly in economics and in finances in general, but they did make it. And I think that's the conversation, like, you can do this. Like, you think you might not be able to. You shouldn't have to, but you can. Mm-hmm. And that's a bigger in itself conversation. But also, again, like I was talking about my parents, they could not afford to have a midlife crisis. And in this same report, they talk about the fact that, yeah, people wanted to pretend and report like this was a common thing, when actually only 10 to 20% of the people ever experienced a midlife crisis, even in the heightened time where it was thought that it was always a mm-hmm. thing. And I find that fascinating. But yeah, so I'm having a moment of like coming back to like, okay, I'm getting old, but I don't feel like I'm getting old. Where is all the wisdom and all the graciousness of aging gracefully to add to my aging physically? I haven't found it yet, and everything is blurry, so I need to go find my readers that I don't have yet. But
I wonder if a lot of that was, I don't know. I wonder if a lot of that was a myth that we kind of observed as kids, like our parents had it together at that age. That's what I'll be. But really, they were like, oh gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I think my parents specifically would be like, we don't know how we did it, but we did it. And mm-hmm. we had support. Of course, they're very religious too. So they put in faith in there. Uh-huh. But like, yeah, it's an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. Your responsibilities, what was appropriate, what isn't, your expectations. And yeah, we've definitely changed those as millennials and hopefully for the better. And the Gen Zers are doing even more so. So beautiful, you do your thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a moment of like, oh God, yeah, this is odd. We are coming into, I feel like we are a whole separate generation that has really shifted things. Maybe not because I'm being very one-sided in this, but it does. It feels like this big conversation was like, it's not what it used to be. And the shift has really started here.
Right. Yes. And I do think there's also the conversation of, you know, not wanting it as much, but also can't afford it anymore. So there's a lot. A lot going on. And I love that it was all triggered by your eye appointment.
Damn, Dr. Lee and my readers.
I love it. Inspiration comes from anywhere. Ugh. Yes. Well, thank you for sharing, Samantha. We would love to hear from you listeners about this. I'm sure you have plenty of thoughts. You can email us at stephmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok @StuffMomNeverToldYou. Oh, also YouTube. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey. Yes.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.